I'm sure you've heard, or maybe you've even experienced it firsthand. There are all kinds of obstacles for universities as they try to reach their students during the pandemic. But as two business school deans told me in this episode, this is the time to innovate. I'm Karin Zissis of ASCOA Online, and in this episode, I spoke with Joanne Lee of FIU Business and Ignacio de la Vega of Tec de Monterrey's EGADE about how their programs are adapting, not only to COVID-19, but as concerns about economic inequality and political crises in the Americas are driving a need for conscientious leadership. Both deans also recently joined ASCOA for a program on the future of business schools, so check the podcast notes for a link to watch the panel. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latinoamérica en Foco.
América Latina en Foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
Thank you so much to Joanne Lee and Ignacio de la Vega for being with me today for this episode of Latin America in Focus. And to start off, let's talk about the fact that this is the start of the school year, and we are starting it under extraordinary circumstances. We could talk a lot about the problems. Obviously, students can't be in the room doing things on hand, networking. And what I'm wondering is, we can sit here and talk a lot about some of the negative aspects of coming back to school under these conditions, what are some of the opportunities you're seeing especially in the context of business education? And Joanne, can you start?
Absolutely. So let me start by saying that never let a good crisis go waste. So the reason I say that is while we observe a very unprecedented time in our higher education history, the crisis actually create a lot of true character. And you can see it from students all the way to faculty, to staff. We are being pushed for innovation and students become a lot tech savvy. And for faculty in the past that may be sitting on the benches, I don't know what I can do, this kind of teaching model or whatever, now is very willing to be trained for our high flex, hybrid flexible model and take on a lot of challenge with technology. And I think the great thing that coming out from this pandemic and the economic lockdown is to allow people to think creatively and come together to honor the commitment for business education, for higher ed. And you can also see that a lot of industry employers, they're coming together and say, what can we do? Can we do like a virtual internship for your students? These are really great, you know, opportunities coming out despite the challenges we're facing right now.
Mm-hmm. Ignacio, what have you been seeing in your experience?
Well, very similar. I like what Joe was mentioning about never letting a crisis go away. And I fully agree. I believe it's building some of the skills that we were actually developing in our educational model and in industries and markets were demanding resilience, innovation, this tech savviness, problem solving, entrepreneurial mindset, collaboration. This is what we've seen. And of course, we're concerned like everybody else, but we're pretty much optimistic at the GADE and at Tecnológico de Monterrey about what the future is going to bring and about how we are sort of facing this model in which, again, we move from getting online to something we then call flexible and digital to what we're calling now high flex plus tech. I mean, learning, moving ahead, and being very close to our students and to our communities. And this is what it takes out.
Are you both in both settings, are all of your students virtual? And to what degree are students coming in and participating in person? Joanne, if you want to start.
Absolutely. Starting in May, mid-May, we have started actively manage the expectation of our student, faculty, and staff. Why I say management is because we're still in a world of uncertainty, right? Back in May, if you travel back in time, you realize like a lot of people are kind of nervous. What if, you know, the COVID-19 cases, you know, keep going up? So at this point, I have to say FIU Business as a college on FIU campus. We probably offer a lot more face-to-face element than other colleges. Part of it is because we really believe that that is important to address some other concern that is beyond the health, right? And that could be learning, being a conducive learning environment, and also at the same time address that sometimes students just need to have the stability, seeing their faculty, seeing their professor as the rock of life, right? So I would say at this point, with our start, we have about 184 undergraduate student mm-hmm. session that will preserve some kind of face-to-face element. And I call it a high flex because of the new classroom adjusted capacity. We are able to rotate some students, may not be the full class, maybe half of a class will come on Tuesday. The other half of the class on the Tuesday that, during the class time, they will remote in and synchronize interactively, you know, talking with the professor and interact with their fellow classmate in the classroom. And then maybe Thursday when they have class again, we switch. And in a graduate program, because most of our students actually have some kind of online element, we have a little bit better maneuver of our student body. I would say at this point, including term A and term B for this fall semester, we have close to probably 75 to 80 sections have some kind of face-to-face section. So I'm proud of my faculty. I'm proud of my student. And in the beginning of the semester, everybody is a little bit nervous, but we did everything we can to protect everyone. And people make sacrifices to come back to honor our commitment to business education. And with that, I think a lot of students came back and shared with the professor how grateful they really are to even have an element of sitting in a classroom to see some form of normalcy going on. So I'm proud of FIU business. I think our professor and our staff and our students are really doing great for that regard.
Ignacio, how is it working out here in Mexico?
Well, we moved almost 6 months ago into a remote model on March 12th. Tecnológico de Monterrey declared two things, that the 30,000 employees were working from home, and that we will resume our activities fully online. It took us 24 hours at the Gade Business School to move 2,000 students and all our faculty online. And it was probably much easier. We were prepared. We moved into online MBA program last year. Our MBA and our finance masters are blended in a 35%. We were moving into different technologies and training and working with faculty for the last couple of years. So we were lucky, we were prepared. At Tecnológico de Monterrey Business School itself, when we talk about the undergraduate population, it was a bit different. Of course, we were not that ready, but digital ready. So it took us 1 week. But it was an amazing thing. In 1 week, we were able to move 90,000 students, 90,000 students, and more than 9,000 faculty members online. And of course, you can imagine, we started in what we were calling online model. Then we moved into online education. Then we started training, developing, and becoming much better. And it was an amazing effort by our faculty, by our technology people, by our faculty development people. And then we move into a full-fledged, flexible model. And 6 months into this thing, we're moving now into a high-flex plus tech model, which is even more complicated. So this has taken something like 8 million hours of faculty development and a lot of investment, definitely in technology, and everything else. While we are in this full online mode still, we of course ready for at the same moment in which our country-like system opens up, we can move into hybrid. So we did develop, again, two different hybrid models and train 9,000 faculty to get into a hybrid model, making investment into our classrooms and so on. So it has been a huge impact from the financial perspective. And what I can say is that students were very concerned at the beginning. They started to understand what we were doing and how we were sort of ensuring their education. And today they're very happy and grateful, but of course, they're willing to go back. One more thing about this. So it was a big challenge. Took a lot of effort from lots of people here, but also gave us a lot of opportunities, beautiful ones. And let me give you one example. At EGADE Business School, we did develop a model. We call this the Global Visiting Online Program, in which we are attracting top talent that otherwise would not be able to come to Mexico for 2 weeks because they don't have time in their calendars. And now they come for a few sessions, 10 sessions, and they don't need to fly. They do it online, of course. So attracting faculty from great schools, great colleagues, Stanford, INSEAD, Holt Business School, the Indian Institute of Management, and others. And we keep testing, we keep inventing, we keep failing because we believe that in order to succeed, you need first to fail, of course. So we sort of going into different formats using virtual spaces and experimenting a lot. So this is a little bit where we are and ready to go back to campus where we can, of course.
Yeah, I think we'd all love to be more in person. It's interesting to hear both of you sounding quite, in a way, relaxed, considering all of these challenges. I mean, you both sound very enthusiastic about the process, so that's really impressive. And there's been so much talk about 2020 and just what a dramatic year it's been. But we know that before 2020, we were already looking at all kinds of global challenges. I mean, if we're going to look at Latin America in particular, we know that last year in Latin America, we were seeing unrest in several countries, sort of a dissatisfaction over a feeling that certain things about current economic systems hadn't delivered, concerns about inequality. I wanted to start this question with you, Ignacio, because I know you've actually written about this. And looking at business education with these issues in mind, can you talk about how business schools are addressing this drive for change, what you've seen in your context?
Well, that is a great question, and you're right. We are not facing one only crisis. In this part of the world, in Mexico, in Latin America, we've been in a continuous crisis, and we've seen that our societies are really needing huge changes, and we have an ugly situation in terms of social divide, inequality, injustice, corruption, lack of opportunities, gender issues. I mean, you name it. We have all type of crises on top of this huge coronavirus crisis or the pandemic with social and definitely financial and economic metastasis in the near future. If you remember in January, when life was still different from what we're facing today at the World Economic Forum in Davos, the world leaders were sort of stating that we had one of the worst leadership crises in our recent history. The pandemic made this very evident, and we can take a look around and see our governance and see our social leaders and see some business leaders. So they did a great job, definitely, and understand that was a good point. And the pandemic brought the need for a much more social, compassionate, caring management style and leadership style. And we didn't get this over the last few months. As business schools, we've been also sort of accomplices in this maximization of shareholder value as the only way to be happy in our world and to create value from companies and from leaders. And that when we got all these things together, we put it also in the light of the COVID-19 pandemic, our world is sort of imploding. It's like, I mean, definitely there is no one more crisis we can handle now. So there is something else we need to do. And Joe, myself, we have the honor of serving as business school deans. That is a huge responsibility. What type of leaders are we sort of developing or supporting in our communities at Tecnológico de Monterrey, at Florida International University? They're the leaders that need to fix whatever we have not been able to fix or we made worse, our generations. It's a huge responsibility, and this is something that we bring in today very seriously, not only in our mindset, but also in our curriculum and in things we're doing. We're just setting up a center for conscious business and sustainable future, and we plan to do whatever we can to start developing a new model for business and society.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing, Joe, in your context?
I absolutely agree with Ignacio. And this is not only a good question, this is a very important question. And similar to Latin America in summer, when United States was confronted with the George Floyd event, social injustice has all of a sudden become the forefront of our concerns again. I mean, as business school, we have a fiduciary duty to lead and guide our student to the right path, right? And I would say that there's something that we have been doing, it's always very dear to our heart, is the diversity and inclusiveness. And I will invite people to think, right? FIU Business itself is a U.S. News and World Report number two rank in the country. It itself actually comes with a very important responsibility. What does it mean? We look upon our student, and recently we created quite an initiative or quite a bust to identify four minority students who are very passionate individually regarding this topic of like social justice, diversity, and being inclusive. And every one of them, as young as they are, they're very well articulated with their thought. They have a game plan. And along with some of our faculty, they're a diversity fellow working, you know, with Central University, to think about as a collaboration effort, right? Collaborative effort. What can we do to not just talk about it, but truly take action to it? Now, we invite people to think. Business school has a responsibility to involve the competitiveness in everyone. Internationalize our operation is fundamentally important. I will ask, you know, the listener to think about it. Close your eyes and imagine one day, every one of us, every one of our students will have the opportunity to see the world, whether it is a study abroad program, whether it is an international internship, well, there's some kind of participation. When they are going to a foreign place, when they are among strangers, think about there will be no better way to humble oneself to believe, okay, I have to embrace differences. I have to understand diversity is the way to operate my business. And I understand people. I get it, right? If we truly can lead the way to internationalize our business education, we can take care of a lot of diversity and inclusiveness issue. And I personally feel very passionate about this topic. Part of it is I was an international student, right? I grew up in Hong Kong. I understand, right, capitalism. I understand free enterprise. But more importantly, when I first came here, I have to quickly adapt to live in a foreign land, to understand a different culture, but there's no better way to make me open my eyes and realize I need to embrace differences. I need to accept and understand how to be inclusive so that I can come out as a more, you know, worldly and understandable, you know, understanding individual. So I agree with Ignacio 100%. This is a very important topic, and we do have a fiduciary duty as a business school and also as the dean of a business school to lead the path and making sure that our students understand the world is for all of us. It's not one segment. Whether you have or you have not, it doesn't matter. If we want to have good business practice, we want to have good business, we need to train our candidates to understand how important it is to internationalize our education and bring in diversity and inclusiveness.
You know, it's fascinating hearing you talk about sort of a global way of thinking and an international way of thinking right now as we are in a situation where we're stuck where we are, right? And as part of this pandemic, there's been this discussion around, is this the end of globalization? Not just because of the pandemic. We're seeing nationalist governments around the world, populist governments, an approach that is far more in looking domestically inward. I want to know what you both think of that. How do you, first of all, think that this is the end of globalization? And how do you see that affecting the goals of some of your students and the environments that you're in? Ignacio, if you want to start.
Sure. Again, we are discussing it, globalization. As we understand globalization, it's coming to an end. I mean, in my opinion, no way. Our world is a global one today, is interconnected, is multilateral, and needs even more cooperation. And of course, we suffer in populism, but maybe this is what we deserve. When we bring together capitalism and democracy, we get this type of things, and we need to accept it and work them out. So for me, the world is global, and it's going to be increasingly global. Definitely, globalization is reshaping, and we've seen things like the affection on global supply, the value chains that are changing, and that is good news for some geographies. And the change is fostering what we call a reshoring, nearshoring, I mean, a change in how we are producing, locating, and developing value chains. But again, in a complete global scenario, for us, particularly at Mexico, this is a great opportunity. We're very well positioned geographically to take sort of benefit and advantage of these changes in globalization. But they are not changes in globalization. They're business changes. So when a industry cannot afford, you know, what has happened with the pandemic and how global supply chains are broken, they need for solutions. And one of the solutions is let's bring in or nearby our production. I mean, if you had in the U.S. what you guys going through with President Trump and this idea of America first and producing, which is good, but sometimes makes no sense, we get this new, let's say, definition of globalization. As I said before, this is great for Mexico, and we're going to believe take advantage of this if, again, also and only if our government is able to provide, you know, a safety net, some confidence, and start working with the private initiative, with private businesses to make this happen. And the rest of things, I believe we will accelerate this global world. And we're seeing this in technology, in the way we learn, in the way we work, more and more global teams working remotely, cooperating. So mixed effects, I think we will see from pandemic in globalization.
And getting the opportunity, as you said, to sometimes have people who wouldn't have been able to take the time or travel joining for different activities. Joanne, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, seeing as you're at Florida International University. What is your perspective on this?
It is observable that the world politics are changing drastically. And if 10 years ago you asked me this question, I couldn't imagine the world we're in right now. But I'm not a political scientist. But that being said, I mean, I live enough to understand sometimes politics come, politics go. I am in agreement with Ignacio about the globalization, right? When you observe there's something happening, there's always a counterforce. As a business school, our fundamental duty is to educate. And sometimes education can bring in goodness, and sometimes education can bring in evilness, right? But I do believe that with the technology advancement and our generation of learner becoming so tech savvy, right, it's very difficult to contain their connectivity. Whatever policy you put in, they will find a way. Let me give an example, right? So let's say New York City right now, you know, you have business leaders get together. And today in the Wall Street Journal, they were talking about the business leaders get together and criticize the mayor, you know, what happened here and this and that. So I use an example, not casually, but I use an example in the context of thinking when something happened to the point that is on the brink, you know, like the brink of breaking, you will always have a counterforce to say, wait a minute, something is not working. What can we do? So I agree with Ignacio. Our fundamental goal is to continue to couple technology to train our next generation of workforce, right? And our goal is to foster, you know, whatever, you know how they're going to be. And I do believe that with the technology advancement, it is difficult to contain them, whether it's information dissemination, whether it's ideas, whether it's technology or skill set. And look at the Silicon Valley, you know, price values drop significantly, right? People are moving back to the suburb. They want a little backyard here and there. I don't need to pay high rent or buy a very expensive house. We could have never imagined that, right? Just 6 months ago, when you asked me, I can buy a house in Silicon Valley, there's no way. But 6 months later, hey, that could be a contemplating thought, right? So I say that globalization is a force that cannot be stopped, right? Whatever the politics going on, because we work very hard, like Ignacio, we are going to nurture and foster this generation of students that will take the reign as leaders. And they will come up with a solution, and they will say that you can't stop me. Put away your politics, free enterprise, capitalism, the way to do things, the way we do business will still continue. So I remain optimistic about that. And I think employees are getting smarter, students are getting smarter, and university will be the perfect partner to foster that kind of environment for all to succeed.
If I can add something, that is a great discussion today as well. Guys, what do you think about business school and business education in the near future? Are you guys losing relevance? It will become, you know, something that we won't see in the future. And I think what pandemic is bringing is exactly the opposite. Business schools, university, education, it's more relevant than ever. And it's key to understanding the challenges, the changes, developing these leadership capabilities that we really need to face changes, not only to face them, to be main characters and develop and design the changes that our societies need. And this is what we do as educators. I mean, we're committed to preparing the next generation of leaders. And these leaders need to have a completely different set of knowledge, skills, and attitudes, not to be part of the new normal, to shape it up, to invent it, to reinvent it as many times as possible. This is what we do in education. And this is the beauty of sharing the passion of what we do with Joe and many other educational leaders all over the world.
I agree with Ignacio. I want to circle back what he just said. That's a very important statement. The crisis changes the way we do business. Let me circle back with the high flex model that we both talk about. Hybrid flexible teaching modality. It's now the hottest word and term in higher education. Now, I'll give an example. Many years ago, I wanted to push this kind of idea. The goal is I can pocket my local student and have them interact remotely with a group of students, maybe in different part of the world. At the time, nobody paid me attention. Dean, you're crazy, because it's a new teaching modality. We have to relearn everything again. Why do we need to do that? And our market is here. We can do all the stuff. I'm not talking about FIU. I'm talking about in general. Most of the people in the profession say, well, I perfect this teaching modality. I don't want to change. But now the high flex, like, wait a minute. It actually provides you the flexibility. Hey, if the COVID-19 cases really, you know, have an uptick today, stay home, we can all go remote. But next class and everything calm down, let's go back to campus and interact, right? This is extremely flexible for any professor to think about. We will be ready. If there's anything quite like this happen again, we'll be ready. Learning will happen. Teaching will take place. So I really enjoy the statement when people say the crisis changes the way we do things, but more importantly, put us in a mindset to invoke the competitiveness in us. Let's not, you know, forget how important this moment is. While it is sad to see the economic lockdown, but let's seize the moment, bring the changes and march on.
Great. You know, we have time for one more question, so I'm going to sneak one in, hopefully. And one thing I'm wondering, we're talking a lot about technology. We're talking about the challenges that the world is facing and how business schools are creating new or having to be conscientious and think about the challenges that we're facing. You know, one thing that we're talking about is the ease with which your schools adapted to the situation. However, there are students that are part of your student body, there are people that are creating initiatives that have to market towards people who don't have that ease, who are part of this digital divide. And we're seeing this, you know, particularly in Latin America, where there's a challenge of how do you deal with schooling? Not everyone has enough, and this is true in the United States as well, not everyone has enough devices at home. Not everyone has, that's just education. And then they're trying to create initiatives dealing with an acceleration of technology. How do we address this digital divide, and what are you seeing as initiatives and ways to explore that, bridging that digital divide gap Ignacio, if you want to start.
Sure. And you are absolutely right. We're talking about two top institutions, one of the leading schools in Latin America, one of the leading schools in the U.S. with a lot of Latin influence. But we're very lucky people. We could move online, as you said, and our students, all of them, did have the possibility to be online in 24 hours, 1 week. But this is a very small percentage of the population here in Mexico and in Latin America. So for us, it's like, oh, this is not only about the digital divide. This is a huge social divide. If we don't, you know, put solidarity into the system, this is going to worsen the situation, the bad situation of many of our societies. And again, in this part of the world, and I've been lucky to live and work in like 9 different countries and in all the different continents, I've never seen such a deep social issue before pandemic and after pandemic as we are facing today in Mexico. And this should be definitely part of our response. What are we doing from EGADE and Tecnológico de Monterrey? We put all our faculty to support, starting to support our small and medium-sized firms. This is 98% of our industry here in Mexico, and they're the ones that are really suffering these 6 months that we are now into the pandemic. We put together the work of our students to put together food packages to deliver. We use our sanitary system, TechSalud, to help in research. And we need to do much more. So my final remark is, of course, we need to keep educating our audiences, our students, and take care of our faculty and of our communities. But we need to look outside the window and see what we can do to get better our communities. And this is going to worsen in the next few months. So what are we going to do as business school, as faculty, and as leaders? That is a great question that I'm still trying to answer and figure out.
Thank you. Joanne, what do you think? How are you seeing this bridging of a digital divide at a time when technology is accelerating so quickly in your environment?
It is indeed a difficult challenge. How to prepare the student while we are digitally advancing, right? So is the learner-centric discussion here, because we cannot just fantasize ourselves, okay, now we have all the technology, student, instead of coming face-to-face in class, you stay behind a computer, I'm expecting you, highly motivated, get your homework done, do your test well. So we have to rethink as business school to understand and maybe do more intense study and research on how to improve the performance of the student, that will include changing the way they study, that will include how to motivate them, that will include techniques we need to share with them, and maybe like simple industrial engineering, right? Every 30 minutes. Okay, guys, get up. We'll do a little, run on the spot for 2 minutes, get our blood, up in the brain running, and then we'll come back to the computer screen again. I'm giving you a far-fetched example, but you know what I'm talking about, right? The learner-centric will be something, as we advance out of this pandemic, will be something that we need to focus on as a business school. So, and I really believe that if we already done quite a bit of training our faculty, over 100-something faculty already being trained for a high-flex model, but I say now, let's parallel the strategy and train our student and our learner so that they can come with us and they will not be left, in the dust.
That's great. Thank you so much. It's a lot of what you were just saying right there made me think about the beginning of the discussion and not letting a good crisis go to waste and learning how to adapt and innovate with it. Thank you so much to both of you, Joanne and Ignacio, for taking the time for this really interesting discussion. It's wonderful to hear how both of your schools are adapting and the opportunities you see in spite of challenging times, to say the least. So thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you for inviting us. I enjoyed a conversation with Ignacio.
Thank you. Same here. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Karin. My pleasure. And stay well.
Thank you, Karin. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Karin Zissis. This podcast was produced by Luisa Lemmy. Watch a video about the future of business schools in the Americas at as-coa.org/bizeducation. The music in this podcast was recorded at America Society in New York City. Check out concerts online at musicoftheamericas.org. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please write us a review, share, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.